section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast providing us in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On this special episode, we have Roger Cave and Doug Hahn to join Andrew Hughes as we discuss this month's view. I'm sorry, this special edition talking about NXT TakeOver. So let's get right into the matches. So we're going to talk about Candice LeRae and Roger. What's her name?
Io Shirai.
Thank you. So what do you think is going to happen with this match?
So logically, this has to be Io Shirai. She just newly turned heel. This is her first big feud. I like Candice. I think she has star potential down the road. Like, she's a very bubbly, get behind babyface, white meat. But Io Shirai needs to win. Like, this, she already kind of got punked out by Shayna Baszler twice. If she loses this to Candice LeRae, I'm not sure her character has much depth going forward, unless it's like a type of loss where she gets disqualified and destroys Candice or something like that, which isn't really something that TakeOver does. So I think Io wins here. Maybe they even do like one of those referee stoppages because Candice can't continue. But I think it's just going to be a clean Io win, you know, 9 to 11 minutes.
I think it'll be a little bit quicker, but at the same time, I think it's going to be Candice LeRae that ends up on top with a win. Now, whether that be because of disqualification or whether it be a roll-up win, and then gets decimated afterwards, then we'll see. But I do think Candice LeRae walks away with the winner.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a quick match. Iro, of course, I'm going to pick her in this case. It wouldn't surprise me if they do the, take out Candice in a way. That will not surprise me. So let's move on to, the NXT Women's Championship match. We have Shayna Baszler taking on Mia Yim. Thank you. See, I can never get these names right. So that's going for the NXT Championship. I think this is pretty a simple one. Baszler will definitely pick up the win on this one.
Simply put, it's Baszler. Move on.
There's a time and a place for Shayna to lose. It's not here. It's Shayna Baszler to win. She's your most dominant champion since Asuka. Leave it at that.
All right. So let's move on to Velveteen Dream taking on Pete Dunne, taking on Roderick Strong. Ooh, I don't know about this one, but this is the one that I still think that Velveteen Dream is going to win, but I'm interested to see what will happen from this point on, especially with Pete Dunne, because I'm more confused about what they're going to do with him. So, Roger, what are your thoughts on this match?
I think Pete Dunne was put in this match specifically to eat the pinfall on this one. I think Velveteen Dream is a rising star, and obviously they want to keep him moving up. I hope it's not true, but I can even potentially see him being called up after this. But I think there's an ongoing thread with this night, and I think Roderick Strong captures the North American Championship, and I think he's going to beat Dunn. And it could even be something like Dream is the one who's about to beat Dunn. He hits like the Purple Rainmaker, and Strong steals the pinfall. So that way Velveteen loses, but he doesn't look weak. Dunn gets taken out, something crazy like that. But I think Strong walks away with the championship here.
I agree that Pete Dunn got added to the match to take the pin, but I think it's because I like Strong and everything, but I want to say Velveteen Dream retains.
You know, this is a toughie because to me, from this point going forward, I see the point on having Strong win because then you could say that Undisputed Era goes into War Games with all the titles. I can see that. I wouldn't be surprised if the same scenario happened where Strong's about to get the win, and then Dream pulls him off and then gets the 1-2-3. That wouldn't surprise me to kind of set up a feud, maybe. But this is probably the match that I'm iffy on. Because I don't see Dunn, he has like a 1% chance. And I think that it rounds out with Dream and Strong. It's almost a toss up, leaning more towards Dream. So.
Before we go on, Doug, I'm assuming you're in the same boat. We do not think Pete Dunne is going to win this match.
Yes. Out of everybody, it's not going to be Pete Dunne. I would go Velveteen, Roderick, and then Dunne.
Okay. I'd flip those, but I don't think Dunne's winning either. I think he's in that 1%. Like, if he wins, it would be the upset of the weekend.
Right.
The next we have the tag match, which is the Street Profits taking on the Undisputed Era. Doug, what do you think is going to happen this match? Do you think that the Street Profits are just a transition champion, or do you think that there's a reason why they were they won the tag champs. Or the tag.
I don't think there was ever a reason for them to win the tag champs because they're a one-man team. but true. Since they've been showing up on Raw and with the titles and everything like that, I just got to think that – I don't think they're being called up, but I just got to think that they are there and they're going to keep the titles so that they can keep doing their thing on Raw. So I have the Street Profits winning this one.
I think logically the Street Profits need another year to like get a solid run in NXT to really build that character. Montez Ford is already a star in the making. Like there's no question about it. The man just drips charisma. Angelo Dawkins is getting better, but he needs more time. And because it's the logical move to keep them down in NXT for a year, I'm pretty sure they're getting called up because that's exactly what WWE does. The War Raiders should have been in NXT for another 6 months and established that tag division. Called them up for no reason. Obviously, we had the six call-ups that basically, besides Lacey Evans, have done nothing. So I think this is probably going to be the Undisputed Era winning. Again, continuing the thread that I said from earlier, Roderick Strong has now won. The Undisputed Era has won the tag belts. And at this point in the night, they would have all the championships.
Yeah, but what about Ricochet? He got called up and he's done something.
Ricochet is more the exception to the rule, I would argue. He has done something. Unfortunately, the list of people like EC3 who have not done something is much, much greater. I'd even argue the War Raiders haven't done anything, and that's a shame because they were.
That is a shame.
It's like they got over, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, since you got over, we're going to have to take you down a notch, which is the sad thing to think because Triple H is the one heading that division. You think you'd have some pull, you know, on what's going on with Raw or SmackDown, but apparently not.
Would you say that you would expect them to have some kind of experience with call-ups?
You would think, but they don't. Tyler,
a Viking experience.
I don't even know what they're called right now because it seems like it changes every week.
If that is their
Viking Warriors, isn't it?
I think they're the Viking Raiders.
Raiders.
I don't know. That was what it was when my last time I watched. That doesn't mean it's true now.
I thought they were moving to Las Vegas, though.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So in this case, I do have the Street Profits winning here. But same thing, Roger, I can see where the Undisputed Era could do a clean sweep here. That would not surprise me, but I really hope the Street Profits win here. Yeah, we'll see what happens. And I do agree. Montez Ford is going to do something. I just hope that they don't waste. He doesn't stay with the Street Profits for too long. I hope something happens with that. So then he can go out and shine. So let's talk about the main event, because, of course, it has to be the main event. Adam Cole, baby, taking on Johnny Gargano. I'm going to say this right now. This will be, I believe, the upset of the night. I think Gargano's going to win. I just have a weird feeling that they're going to do some type of swerve, and then you're going to see a weird War Games happen. Because I think what they're going to do for, and I'll just, as a side note, I think for War Games, I think they're going to put every title on the line. So then if Undisputed Era wins, they get all the titles. And I think they're going to do something weird like that. But that's why I think Gargano is actually going to win here. And it will go, of course, three falls because it has to. Roger?
Doug, I'm going to let you go first ahead of me because I have a theory that I don't want to say before you said your pick.
Okay. Well, I've already picked Gargano. And the reasoning behind that is due to the fact that I want to hope that NXT is not going to go the same way as the main roster, in which you have the New Day with all the titles. You have the OC with three titles. Let's stay away from the group getting all the titles. I think that was something that NXT first said, and then WWE said, hey, wait a minute. We have groups that we could title up. We should do that. And then did it before them. But I'm going to go with the fact that it's going to go into War Games where they don't have a single title and then go into War Games and try to defeat somebody in that. Is it 4-on-4?
4-on-4. Well, yeah. The first year they did 3-on-3-on-3. So right. They're obviously not attached to the format entirely. But traditionally, I think it's always been 4-on-4.
So I think it's going to be everybody with a title versus the New Way or the Undisputed Era.
So I said earlier that I think there's a theme that's running throughout. I think we will get a backstage segment between the North American Championship match and the main event. And we're going to get a picture of the Undisputed Era dripping in gold, which is what Adam Cole's prophecy was to start the year. So they will fulfill said prophecy. Adam Cole will lose this match. He will lose the championship. And after the match, I think the Undisputed Era turns on him. I think Roderick Strong assumes control of the Undisputed Era. I think Cole is kicked out because I think right now it'd be 2 years from the day they debuted, because they debuted at the end. And after McIntyre won the championship, I think he was attacked by the Undisputed Era. I think this is where Cole gets kicked out of the Undisputed Era. They're going to call him a failure. Strong is going to take over. If you remember, they had that little beef that they kind of never really resolved. They just had Roddy take out Riddle. I think this is when this gets picked back up. And I think Cole is going to end up being on the opposite team for War Games. So I think it's going to be all the champions of the Undisputed Era. And then on the other side, it's going to be like Cole against them, Gargano against them. I don't know how healthy Ciampa is, potentially Ciampa against them, maybe Pete Dunne against them. But I think this is where Cole gets turned on by the Undisputed Era. And I think War Games might even be Undisputed Era War Games. Like, we could end up seeing a weird thing where it's like 2-on-2, where Cole or Fish and O'Reilly turn on both Strong and Cole at some point. I really think the Undisputed Era is breaking up here.
I want to say I hope not, but that's the other reason why I'm going with Gargano. But I thought that this was one of the hardest ones to choose just because of the fact that Ciampa should be back soon. But I think that's why I'm going with Gargano over Cole, is because I think they're going to try to set up a Gargano versus Tommaso. And what better place to settle it than in Chicago at War Games?
Well, but that's a main event to me, and War Games would be the main event. I think Ciampa and Gargano will be on the same team at War Games. I also think Ciampa's going to come back and help him, because we talked about this before. I had said that there's a great story in Ciampa basically saying, you can't win without me. You couldn't win the championship from me, and you can't win against without me. And now it's going to be, they have one final match to settle a score. They'll team up at War Games.
Team up at War Games, but then have to fight later.
And then have Ciampa turn on Gargano right after the match. You could do that.
No, turns.
I think they can actually win, because he still
be has friends a- at Chicago. You lose your friendship in Chicago, you gain friendship in Chicago.
Yeah. If anything, I think it would be Gargano who would attack Ciampa just because of everything that happened. But I don't think there has to be a heel turn at this point, because it's already been established what happened. If you do the storyline of Gargano feeling insecure that he's never beaten Ciampa for the champ, technically he's never beaten Ciampa in an official match, because his only victory was unsanctioned. So Ciampa can legitimately say, you've never beat me. He beat him to the championship. He's never beaten him for the championship. There's still a feud to go on here. He needed his help, quote unquote, to beat the Undisputed Era, he would say. I think that's the story. And that's the kind of thing that NXT would do going into both War Games and potentially take over Tampa, I think is where WrestleMania is.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, why not? So I can see that being the story going forward. I could also see the Undisputed Era walking away with all the gold, though I think, to Doug's point, do you really want three groups holding all the belts? Like, it does seem like that is a bit overdone at this point.
But you also have to remember that if NXT really is going to be on FS1, they need something, and especially if they go 2 hours, which I'm going to be a little upset about that, but...
Has it been confirmed that they're going to FS1?
Triple H says no. Wrestling Observer says yes. Yeah. You know, Meltzer has been wrong on a few things recently. It wouldn't surprise me if they do NXT and NXT UK, as in have one here, one there. That would make sense. But I have a feeling that they're like, oh, it's Strong on the network, so you know what? Let's make it 2 hours, see what happens. That's what I think they're going to end up doing. Now,
I mean, 2 hours is fine. You can do a good 2 hour show, and they do have enough in development that I can see that happening. But if they're going to be a 2 hour show, they need to be their own brand. Then they need to be a third brand.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they should do that. But I think that they're going to do, I think that they may do the hour show of NXT, but I think they're going to have like either 205 Live or NXT UK on that show as well. Cause I think that would be the way to solve it. Cause then you say, here's the US version, here's the UK version. And go, because I think that Vince is going to have something up his behind where he says, oh, we got to go 2 hours because look, it does great on the network and we tape. So now let's go ahead and do 2 hours live.
You could do NXT Live, which would be essentially a separate brand and start it from scratch, pull up a lot of NXT guys.
But to me, I still watch NXT. Like, I'll binge watch, you know, three episodes in a row. Even if I read the spoilers, I still watch it. So it's, to me, it's not about like, it's like, okay, so this would happen. This would happen. Okay, that's, I don't care about that. I want to see how they got there. I want to see what they're doing. And that yep. makes sense to me. So them going 2 hours, I think it's a mistake. Even though I still wanted like something, you know, an extra like a 30-minute show for like people who are not showcased enough. That, and I would have been perfectly fine with that. But at the same time, it's like we get just that perfect hour, or the, you know, it's not even, sometimes it's 58 minutes, sometimes it's 50 minutes. Like, it's not like they're like, oh, we have to do 42 minutes because we need 18 minutes of advertisements.
And I mean, I will say, when SmackDown Live first had the draft, they had about a 6-month run of fantastic weekly television. Like, you can do a good 2-hour show if booked and written properly. I don't think you can do a good 3-hour show consistently. Like, I would argue that Raw's never done it. I don't think Nitro was ever really that good when it was 3 hours. Like, it is just too long. 2 hours hits a perfect note of, you kind of have your 1-hour main event and your 2-hour main event, and it doesn't drag. Kind of similar to what I said when we went to Ron Everett. The first 2 hours of that show were great. But once you get to that third hour, it's kind of like, I'm done. This either needs to be a pay-per-view or let's be done with it. And the only reason the pay-per-views work, like TakeOver, because it's just nonstop action. Like, you usually get 4 to 5 great matches.
Yeah. And we'll also look at WrestleMania. I mean, you got to think, like, the first portion of it was really good, and then it kind of went downhill right off the bat. Right when Triple H started to come out. And even right before that, too.
When Triple H came out, that was the first portion. And when he finished, that was the second portion.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to TakeOver. It's going to be on, depending on where you list this, it's going to be on Saturday night, 6 at 7 Eastern. For the show, and of course, I think they're doing an hour pre-show as well. So, West Coast people, Roger, gets to watch it extremely early, and then still gets to think football's on as well. So, awesome.
It's going to be a great Saturday.
Yes, it is. So, I hope that we get some of these picks right, and yes.
Well, so. Someone should. I think we disagreed on at least all of them, except for two.
Yeah,
I think Shane and Gargano.
Shane is the only one. Yeah, so far, yeah, Gargano.
I think that's a good thing, though, because it means we don't really know. Like, I think if we did our SummerSlam picks, not to talk about that too much, we'd probably be pretty close in agreement. We don't necessarily know where NXT is going because there are a lot of forks in the road they could take. They could go Undisputed Civil War. They could go No Turn at All. They could go Cole wins. They could Undisputed Dripping in Gold. They could do some weird thing where Ciampa comes back and inserts himself into them. I mean, there's so many different possibilities that it's like, I'm excited to see it, which I can't tell you the last time I've been excited to see a WWE card, probably the Rumble. That's probably the last time I was legitimately excited to see what they had to offer because, you know, Mania is too long. But this is going to be fun. There's no, I would be floored if we talk about TakeOver and go, there were no good matches. Because I've only seen one TakeOver where I was really disappointed. And with all the talent they have on this show, it's going to be good.
Yes.
Yes. I completely agree. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good 3 hours, and you're going to be like, whew, man, that was a...
Think this is anyone's last hurrah?
If I had to speculate, and this would be like a long shot, for some reason, I think that Pete Dunne was put in this match because someone wants him on either Raw or SmackDown. And I hope they don't do that. But I don't see... And the Street Profits, I don't see it because I think you have to break them up first. I think I'd rather have that done in NXT and then bring
Dunne's going to go to 205 Live, right? Like, you do understand that's where he's probably going.
I know, but I'm hoping that he goes somewhere else that is not 205 Live. But we'll see. Hopefully, we'll complain about that when it eventually happens. But anyway, so that's all the time we have for this special. If you're into the Twitter, you follow show at AuthMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hunter, Roger Cave, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.